our hearts into words that we adorn you. Because you are our stronghold. You are our pillar. It is only you. Only you. We exalt your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. To you be the glory, to you be the honor and the praise. We come to celebrate your majesty, to acknowledge your excellent power, to glorify your name. Tonight, take preeminence in our midst. And do that which is in your heart to do in the midst of your people. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can you welcome someone to the house of God? Amen. We have been on a very heavy campaign bearing witness of the resurrection of Jesus from location to location. And indeed the Lord has blessed us in these days, having flight services restored to the airport, life is better now, and we want to exalt the name of Jesus. I remember every other day we are on the road from Makurdi to Abuja so that we can connect, but right now it is different, and we want to exalt the name of the Lord. Turn your Bible with me quickly to the book of Psalms, chapter 138. The Bible is my only book of wisdom. And whenever there's crisis, there's turbulence, I reach out to the Word of God. And it brings comfort, it brings counsel, and it brings timely instruction. Hallelujah. Are you there? Psalms 138, verse number 2. We have been laboring on the subject of foundations. Building our lives on the right foundation. Alright, this is one of the Psalms of the great psalmist of Israel. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Now there are a few things we'll need to pick out, a few truths that are hidden in the scriptures that we'll need to emphasize during the course of these this is our theme, foundations. Now, according to the psalmist, the Bible states that God has exalted his word above his name, above who he's called, above his identity. His words have been exalted much more than his identity, indicative of the fact that the word of God, anytime it is spoken out of the mouth of God, becomes law. Those of us that are in the corridors of public service, you know what it takes to cause a bill to sail, and how that the eventual assent of an executive personality now makes it law in the land. It is subject to first hearing all kinds of debates and all of that before it becomes law. But you see, in the kingdom of our God, when God utters his words instantly becomes law. And because he has exalted his word above all his name, above his identity, he himself becomes subject to that which he has said. You see, God does not rule by brute strength. He doesn't need to come do anything. Because the way he rules is that he rules from a position of authority, making his words both an instrument of governance and an instrument of creation. So if God speaks, it's either that something is created on the account of his utterance, or a law that he himself becomes subject to is enacted. So because of how significant the word of God is, God does not use words the way we do. Right? Have you heard that scripture that says that God is not a man? And that's a very strange assessment of men. It means men can lie, you know. They don't really mean what they are saying. They just say it to escape. But see, God doesn't have that level of leverage and liberty. Because any time he exercises himself to utter words, those words become law. And I told you before that as humorous as Jesus was, he was a friend of the children. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." So children, Jesus was not a masquerade. Children could approach him. Society, normal people in society could approach him. You don't need to sign an application in order for you to be able to meet with Jesus. So he was a man of the people. As much as he was a man of the people and he was very humorous, he communicated kingdom things using parables so that he could administer deep kingdom realities with simple, plain language. He never cracked a joke. Never. Jesus never cracked a joke. Because if Jesus will come to you and say, "Hey, your leg big," you know what will happen to you is that your leg will become big. Big in the way, in the proportion that God can recognize as big. Because, you know, if you, may the Lord give you understanding. If you have that kind of power, that kind of authority warehoused in your words, you will need to be trained for 20 years to speak. So God does not use words the way we do. So if you find something in the Bible, it was not second guessing. It was not a mistake. It was heavily processed. Such a comment, such a statement is in a form that God can invest his power, his authority upon it. So if you want to build your life on sure foundations, then you need to consider building your life on the word of God. Are you there? Let me take you through a few scriptures before we begin our journey. Just some refresher scriptures in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 12, verse number 6. Psalms chapter 12, verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. It means that God's word can be tested by anything whatsoever. The number 7 in that rendition presupposes a complete. So the word of God can pass tests. If you subject it to tests, it will survive. Hallelujah. When I was still in the oil industry, there was this guy. He was an ex-U.S. military personality. He resigned. And there was this oil deal that was, I guess it was one general those days that pushed the deal. And the retired U.S. soldier guy was sent to superintend the deal. And we met in the line of duty. So he was telling me his experience when they were subject to all the disciplines of new recruits. That what they did was that they went to town and scouted for all the hard guys in the city. You know, all the court guys, the guys with guns, the guys. So, okay, come and be useful to yourself. We have opened the door for you to be part of the military. So the guys came with their tattoo. And by the time this, may the Lord give you understanding. By the time they subjected them to military training for 6 months, they had guys cry. See, they couldn't pass the test. They were doing hard guys on their streets, but when they subjected them to intense testing, couldn't survive it. It was fake hardness. Fake. The Bible says that the word of God has been tried 7 times completely. There is no circumstance under which the word of God will fail. All right? Just for your information, this is for your consumption. It will not fail because the economy went bad. It will not fail because there is an ancient cause that is bedeviling the members of the ecosystem. It will not fail because of shortage, of lack, of want. It will not fail because of insufficiency on your part. The word of God has been purified 7 times. Hallelujah. So it can stand the test of strain and stress. And if you are looking for something to build a foundation upon, I want to recommend the word of God. I found some interesting scripture. There are a lot of them. I would have read them out, but we are pressed for time. Wonderful scriptures that will bless you. When you just read it, it administers fresh assurance into your soul. All right, let's go for the scripture for the night. Scripture for the night will be Isaiah chapter 28, and we will begin from let me go to the verse of interest. Verse 16 is my verse of interest. Would have read a couple of verses before we conclude with this verse so that you will see the context, you will see the journey, and you will see the conclusion. Therefore, thus hear the Lord God. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone. Are you there? Now, God is about to build a foundation stone for the construction he intends to put up in Zion. Once upon a time, I believe that is in the book of Matthew chapter 13, the last event that Jesus had was East Israel, and they were journeying towards West Israel, and Jesus didn't say anything until they arrived at the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And the reason why Jesus did not speak until they arrived at Philippi Caesarea, was because of what was going on in that metropolis. Philip the tetrarch, Philip the governor, had been appointed as the tetrarch over Caesarea. And when he came to Caesarea, being a civil engineer by training, became the governor of Caesarea, he wanted to practice his art of engineering on the city and to give the city a facelift. So he demolished defaced buildings and he began to reconstruct the city of Caesarea. And that's why the city was named after him. Caesarea, the handwork of Philip the tetrarch. That's why it was called Caesarea Philippi historically. So when Jesus came with his disciples into the province, you could see construction going on, the kind of things that take place when you are in a construction site. You could see iron rods, you could see what would you see? Blocks, you could see paint buckets, you could see cement bags. It was when they came to Caesarea where there was a building site that Jesus began to speak. The reason why Jesus began to speak was because he wanted to tell them about a construction that he intended to put up. So the first thing he did was that he administered his questionnaire and asked, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And it's interesting to know that this was the same Jesus that was not concerned about who people felt he was. He was only concerned about doing the will of his Father. Suddenly he wanted feedback. Hallelujah. And I was really wondering, why does Jesus want feedback on this occasion? Then I read between the lines and heard the whispers of heaven. And the Father revealed to me that at that time I had revealed to Jesus, my Son, that the revelation and insight about who he was, he had given it to somebody. So Jesus said, all right, don't worry, I'm going to find the person now. So he came with questionnaire. I said, who do men, you know, the sample space, the scope of the administration of the questionnaire was broad. It was open-ended. Who do men, including you, say that I, the Son of Man, am? So when the answers came from the questionnaire, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Elijah, he knew that the person he was looking for was not outside. So he reduced the sample space of the administration of the questionnaire. And then he now asked them, who do you say? I hope you know the reason why he's doing this is because they are in Caesarea. There's construction. Don't forget that. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, I don't know how long the silence was, but eventually Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ. Talking about his eternal ministry. Thou art the Son of the living God. Talking about his person. And I don't have time to build that. The moment it was confirmed that there was someone that had the revelation of Jesus. Do you understand that? That was what was given to Peter. The moment it was confirmed that there was a revelation of Jesus, Jesus now disclosed what was on his heart that he couldn't say until he got to Caesarea Philippi. And what was that? He was also into construction business, the same way Philip the Tetrarch was a civil engineer and was orchestrating a facelift on the jurisdiction of his government. Jesus now disclosed that his own building, his own construction, was a spiritual building called the church. The same way Philip was building Caesarea, Jesus is building what? But he never said that he was into construction business until someone, it was confirmed that someone had a revelation of who he was. Now, because you are not following, I won't connect. Because you are not following, I won't connect the thing. Now, you see, when it was confirmed that someone had picked up the revelation about who he was, then he was now at liberty to discuss what he was constructing, and he called it the church, that I'm building the church, and the church is going to be on a certain foundation. So the Bible says that I lay... where is this? What happened to my reading? Alright, let's forget about it. He said, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone. It was when it became obvious that a mortal had received revelation of who Jesus was, then the revelation of how the church is going to be constructed could be delivered. Now, the thing I said I will hold from you is, what is the connection between the revelation of Jesus and the building of the church? There is a connection, obviously. And that connection is what occasioned Jesus to disclose his intention when a clear-cut revelation about who his person was and what his ministry was declared. It became a convenient time to talk about the church. And he said that the church was going to have a foundation upon this rock. Upon this rock. So let's find out what exactly is this rock. Some say it's Peter. The name for Peter in Greek is Petros. Right? The rock Jesus was talking about, if you read it from the Greek, is Petra. So it's not the same. So what exactly is this rock that he was talking about? It is a revelation of Jesus as the living Word of God. I need to explain to us tonight the difference between... Oh my God, my lecture is long and I'm sure we can't finish it today. But we'll make an attempt. And as long as the Holy Spirit is still on this emphasis, we'll be bringing it to you. You see, you need to be very prophetic to be a Bible teacher. If you want to have authority in the teaching ministry, you must know what God is saying per time. The fact that you have knowledge doesn't make you a teacher. You need to be prophetic to be teaching and expounding the things that God is emphasizing. That's what makes you a teacher of a generation. You'll be able to handle the utterance and the vocabulary required to build with God. Are you still with me? So everything you are building, the hand of the Holy Ghost will be strong on it, and it will travel by the power of God. But you see, you can go, as just like you are in the school of theology now, you can go and read all those books and come and waste these people's time. You are saying something, but it's not building what God is emphasizing. You are still not competent. You are still not able to bring perspective to the body of Christ. So I have to stay with that food to know if the anointing was still on the emphasis I raised yesterday. Then when I was sure of it, I went and wore suit. Don't wear suit in a hurry. May the Lord give you understanding. Okay. All right. There is a difference between the living Word of God, Christ as the living Word of God, and the Scriptures as the Word of God. So what is the difference between the Scriptures as the Word of God and Christ as the Word of God? Anyone willing to respond to me? All right, since there's no response, we'll just forget about the question. And he said, I lay in Zion a foundation stone. It's interesting to know what Zion is. What is Zion? Don't bother yourself. It's complex. Anytime you read about Zion in the Bible, it's talking about God's administrative headquarters in heaven. It's not all of heaven that is Zion. In heaven, there is Zion. And are you there? How many of you have forgotten what the psalmist said? He says, is Mount Zion sides of the northern city of the great king? The great king administers the affairs of the universe from a place in heaven called Zion. Are you there? Meanwhile, when you go to Israel, they will show you a place and say, they will show you Mount Zion. The reason why there's Mount Zion in Israel is because there is the true Zion is in the heavenlies. So I was on Mount Zion in 2012 when we went to Israel. And we were climbing the mount. And one man was quoting the scriptures, but he was not born again. The person quoting, upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. let me not take you too far. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, so Zion is God's administrative headquarters. We have so many scriptures to prove that. Those were the questions I used to have those days, and I took time to check every single scripture in the Bible that has Zion in it. Then it became clear that it was talking about God's administrative headquarters. So in Zion, God laid a foundation stone. Right? One stone, no, he's talking about one stone. And this foundation stone, in order for it to be fit for a foundation, the stone had to be tried. When we say a stone is tried, for those of you that have been around communities where people make burnt bricks, when the clay is molded into the molds and it comes out of the molds, it is fired. Have you been there? When it is fired, it comes out stronger. Now, that's how your life is. If your life, meanwhile, for your information, God will never use any stone that he has not tried. He will try you, put you under diversities of pressure, so that your tendencies can be revealed to you. Not that as if God doesn't know you. He knows you. He knows your frame. He knows your dimensions. He knows your capacities. In fact, it is because he knows you that it regulates the temptation that comes around your life. Because the Bible reveals that God will not allow us to be tempted much more than we have capacity to bear. So God regulates the temptations that comes around our lives relative to the understanding that he has of our dimensions. Are you there? All right, so this stone that is recommended for a foundation, that stone is subject to trying. You know, I told you that the Word of God has been tried 7 times. And it is reliable. The burden of your life, the burden of your destiny, the burden of your calling is not heavy enough to make the Bible fail. It has been tested. And it was proven to be effective and effectual. It was proven to be consistent under diverse circumstances. And that is why it is recommended as the sure foundation for your life. So, the Bible says the same stone that was recommended for a foundation was eventually tried. If you are a scientist, no, not just a scientist, a chemist, there's something we call a periodic table. All right. So, if we subject some metals to high temperatures and pressures, they are going to form other substances. Huh? So if we want to try you, for instance, want to try iron, and we put it under high pressure, we will see if it has the capacity to survive that level of intensity. We put it under high temperature to see if it has the capacity to survive that level of intensity. When it comes out of high temperature, high pressure, and it is capable, it is stable, and it survives, it becomes a precious stone. So when you hear of diamond, it was not originally diamond. It was in another form. It was high temperature and pressure that transformed it into diamond. Are you there? So the way you are now, it is when we subject you to high temperature, high pressure, high challenges, and your life rooted in the Word of God survives these challenges that God will now recommend you as a precious stone. You see, the reason why so many people are not being recommended for very high kingdom service is because the last time they subjected them to testing, just little pressure, they caved in. So someone that caves in under little pressure cannot be used to fulfill a big assignment. Because in the face of a big assignment, you will see pressure that you cannot control. And that's why God goes, subjects people, his instruments, through a trial session. When they survive this trial session, then they can now become precious. So one stone, suggested as a foundation stone, recommended for trial and test. When it passes the trial and the test, then it becomes... Oh. Come with me. You are not following. You don't believe it. Okay. Let's go to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 16. Then they that hear the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and thought upon his name. Verse 17 is my emphasis. It says, and there shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. See, jewels are precious stones. People that survived high impact of pressure, high impact of temperature, then you emerge as a precious stone. It means that you have found sure foundations. Because the pressure did not have the capacity to bend you. So if you are going to be that man that will survive pressure and come out unbendable so that you can be recommended as a precious stone, you need to have sure foundation. The proof of your foundation is revealed when pressure comes to test you. You know, we said yesterday that the reason why someone fails during a temptation is because the person's foundation is faulty. Not because he's tempted, not because he's tested, but because his foundation is what? Faulty. For instance, the Bible reveals that if a man falls in the day of adversity, it is not because of the adversity, it's because his strength is small. So pressure and temperature comes to expose the quality of your foundation. If your foundation is rooted in that which is eternal, rooted in that which is immutable, your circumstances will reveal the immutability of the counsel upon which you stand. If your life is rooted in that which cannot die, when death comes and tests your life, you will still be living after death comes. Because you have established your life on a sure foundation. So the Bible says that in the day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. You see, it's in the days when the jewels of God come that God... It will be easy for us to know who is in God's service and who is not in God's service. You see, the next verse says that. Then ye shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So, all of us are in the pool now. So, what God will do is that he releases pressure. Allows Satan to bring pressure. Then when Satan brings pressure on all of us, those among us whose lives are founded on the word of God will last. The ones that are not founded, the pressure will scoop them out. That's how you become a precious stone. It is when you become a precious stone that you can become a sure foundation. God can use you to build something in Zion. You become part of the building material. Because that structure, you are not following. That structure Jesus wants to build that he calls the church, he doesn't use stone there. The building materials, he uses physical stone, uses spiritual stone, and that was why he called Peter a stone. Petros, you will become one of the building materials that I will use in the spiritual building. Oh, you don't get it. Do you still remember that it was Peter that gave us the revelation that we are lively stones built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood? See, it was Peter that picked that revelation because Jesus revealed to Peter through the disclosure that took place in the book of Matthew chapter 13 that in this spiritual edifice that he was building, Peter was a building material, Peter was a stone. So all stones that we feature in God's building must be tried. Because there is no room for a casual stone. There is only room for precious stones. And precious stones are the stones that survive the fire test. Stones that survive the pressure test. And the only way you can survive the fire and the pressure test is that your life is founded on the Word of God. Now, stay with me. I need to take you people on a journey quickly. Do you get my drift now? What I'm saying is that God is building, and God will use building materials, and he is considering you as one of the stones that he will use for that building. But unfortunately, when Zion is building, Zion will bring all the recommended stones and then try them. It is after the stones have survived the tests that they are labeled as precious stones, then they can now become stones that will be used in God's building. You get the sequence? So it is not every believer that is qualified to be part of that building. And that's why we must not confuse the multitude for the church. I'm going to take a time. If I have time, I will show you 15 characteristics of what proves that you are part of the church. Yes, 15 characteristics. You will now discover that the multitude do not make the church. All right, let's leave that. All right, so first of all, you are recommended as a stone to be in the building. And it is Zion's project. Then Zion will make plans for you to be tried. After you have tried and you come out strong, then you are labeled precious stone. And God can use you to build what he wants to build. And that's the reason why many believers don't end up doing great things for God. Not because God doesn't have intentions to use them to do great things. It's because their life was not built on foundations that are sure. So when the season of the test came, they could not survive. But the Word of God has been purified 7 times. It means that the Word of God survived every test. So if I build my life on the Word of God, my life is supposed to survive every test. And I'm telling you that if someone lacks the ability to survive, it's not because of the test. It is because of the foundation. Are you with me? All right. So I need to show you 7 tests. 7 tests that you'll be subjected to. Not because you are serving the devil, because you have decided to embrace the Word of God, you are going to be tested. Not because you are serving Satan. I'm talking about people that have embraced the Word of God. They have embraced the counsel of God for their life. They have embraced their ordination. They have embraced their destiny. These individuals are going to go through 7 tests. And the objective of the test is to certify you a precious stone. Stay with me. Are you with me? All right. So those days, when we were on campus, One of our major prayer points was, Lord, anoint me. Is that prayer bad? Lord, do what? So that I will take your name, I'll take your presence, I'll take your power all over the world. Hallelujah. But you see, the word glory in Greek, you see, sometimes we need to bring some Greek back. The word glory in Greek, most of you think glory means shining. You are wrong. It's not okay. You're not. Glory, the word glory is a measurement for weight. For weight. You know what we call beam balance? Yeah. Weigh bills. Weight. So glory is about weight and measures. And when the glory of God begins to rest upon your life, it is now that I've experienced a rich measure of the grace of God. I can tell you that the people the Holy Spirit used to write the Bible were men that knew God. Everything those men wrote under the influence of the Holy Ghost is true. And I tell you, as both a researcher of Scripture and a man that has experienced a little measure of the grace of God. For all of you ministers of the gospel in this place, when the anointing comes upon you, it leaves. I don't know how your experience is, but my experience is that it sits on me and I feel it. It's intense. I feel it like weight. So that word was used exclusively to reveal the experiential dimension of the grace of God that is in the anointing of the Spirit of God. When it sits upon you, it is weight. So we were praying for the anointing. We didn't know that if the anointing eventually comes, it is heavy to carry. And if your life is not adequately structured, that weight will destroy you. You would have been better off without the anointing if you were not planning to carry weight. I was building, and you know, in Nigeria, you need to build a house. You need to create water for yourself by drilling a borehole. Then you send it to the tank, and then you connect pipes to the house because the government won't do anything. So you need to do everything. You need to fight. You need to drill all kinds of experiences. So we drilled the borehole and they now built a slab for the tank that will carry the water. So they called me and said, "It's built. You can check." I said, "No, the only way to check is not to look at the slab. Let's fill the tank with water." And when we filled it with water, in fact, the guy that built it was so sure he was on the slab with the tank up there. Said, "We did something here." And before the tank got half full, the whole structure fell down, including the man that was boasting. The prayer point changed. The prayer point was no longer about the slab, was about the man. We had to move him to the hospital for the doctors to help translate our prayers into. If no weight was coming on the slab was good enough. But you see, the slab is going to carry weight. And because it's going to carry weight, there is a way it must be built to survive weight. Do you know what happened? God answered our prayer. All of us that prayed for the anointing, He answered. Whether we had weight or not, He answered. Just like the guy that built the slab, he didn't know that weight was coming. And he even stood there. He said, "Even plus my weight." And everything came down. We couldn't even cry out that the tank got damaged. We couldn't cry out again. Our tears was about. Because if the man dies, people in this city will say, "Pastor has used somebody for sacrifice so that his ministry will grow." I say, even if you are planning to die, you pray to die, you make a contract with death, he will not die. We ran into trouble because we were not preparing for weight. And so the anointing now came. By the time you minister under the influence. I've been to nations, me and Philip. I've been to some nations before. After we finished ministry and we came down, it's just that we didn't allow it. Human beings wanted to worship us. And I'm not joking. We were properly discipled. Yes, we were properly trained. We stayed under discipleship until we became precious stones. So we know what it means when God, in his mercy, decides to raise a man and to put the oil upon him to represent the interests of heaven. I know what it means. But if you did not develop adequate structure to carry that weight, when the people come to worship you, you say, yeah, you know, I'll be here. Glory. Then you will now begin to use the baritone. Your voice will change. That's a proof that you are not built for weight. That same anointing you prayed for is going to be the object of your destruction. Even though it came from God, there was no structure to carry it. So the thing will crush the person that has invited that same oil to stay upon his life. Are you there? Oh, you are not aware. You know, for about 14 years, I was without wedding ring. You know the story. Now, after 14 years, it was no longer safe to go without this ring. Because the moment you go somewhere and they look at you and check the hand, no ring. It's available. Are you there? Every woman wants to marry an anointed man. If you don't have structure to carry what? Weight. You would think that you are handsome. That's why they are coming. You will not know that God has made an investment, and that investment is an investment to impact the body of Christ, to impact nations. So when you speak, nations will recognize the authority in your voice, and they will gather around you, not because you are a handsome man, but because you carry something that their deliverance was factored into. Are you with me? So you will see an attraction. You need to turn your face to the wall and say, Jesus, it is you they are looking for. I know. It is that fragrance you put upon me that is glowing. It is you. It's actually you they are looking. If you cannot say that, you don't have the structure that can handle the influence that the anointing. It's better for you not to be anointed. Only vessels that are tried and they have become precious can carry the things of Zion and survive. So like I said, all of us that pray for the anointing, the Lord answered. 20 years down the road, many of us are nowhere to be found. Not because God did not answer, but because the stones were not tried. So God will not build without a stone that he has not tried. So because you receive the word of God, you want to walk by the word of God, you want to walk by faith, you want to believe God, you are expecting the hand of God to move. Just because you are in that category, you are going to be subjected to 7 tests. That's what I'm saying. And all of these tests will be proof enough whether or not you believe in the word of God that you received. Let us begin the journey. The first test is called the test of time. Psalms 105 verse 19. Turn your Bible. The test of time. This psalm is talking about Joseph that was in the dungeon. And I assure you, no matter how pious you are, you don't want to be in the dungeon. This guy was in the dungeon, and the Bible summarized his time in the dungeon in one verse. The Bible says, until the time that his word came. The word came in that scripture is manifested. It means that God has spoken a word to him, but the word was yet to be manifested. And until the time that his word was manifested, the word of the Lord tried him. It means that there was a time interval between the time the word was spoken and the time the word, what? Manifested. And that interval reveals a test. And that test is called the test of time. Everyone that receives a promise from God will need to survive the time test. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. All right. I will show you the technique of how to survive the time test. But I need to expatiate this time test much more. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. Still talking about the time test. It said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So in the administrations of God, the Lord plans and features the performance of his counsel through windows of time. Yes, we know that God dwells in eternity. Yes, we know that God functions in eternity. But his purposes find expression through concise windows of time. And we cannot influence the time that the purposes of God will find expression. My friend called me one day and said he had a vision that he was wearing his white abada. For those of you that don't know what an abada is, it's an African garment, very bogus, very big. I know you have an idea of what I'm talking about. So he saw himself in a vision wearing that attire, that tunic, and there was a mighty weight of the power of God upon his life. So on Sunday morning, he reached into his archives, he reached into his suitcases, and he got that apparel. You see, you cannot bring prophecy to pass by an act of the will of man. Hallelujah. And he came in the apparel expecting that the hand of God will move. And that day, the Lord left the service. The Lord was somewhere else because flesh had entered. He never knew. It took 5 years of dealing. Well, I will tell you the story later. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, still talking about the test of time. Habakkuk chapter 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that there may run that read at it. Okay, Habakkuk, let's start from, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, not at the beginning, but at the end, it shall speak and not lie. It means, in the day of the manifestation, the vision will be speaking, and if it is from God, it will never lie. It's exactly what God told you that is going to come to pass. But there is an appointed time allocated for the fulfillment of things that are already real in the realm of the Spirit. The moment God says something and you take sides with God and you believe God, that thing becomes real in the realm of the Spirit. And like every child, every seedling in the womb, there is a gestation period for every manifestation of the things that God has said. Is there a pregnant woman in this hall? Okay, no pregnant woman here. Oh, there is. Your delivery will be smooth in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, no matter how weighty, maybe she comes under the impact of the load and it's just 6 months, then she goes praying and say, God, in the name of Jesus, you can do all things. Can you do a miracle? This thing is heavy. Can we do something about it? You see, nothing can be done about. Even when God visited Sarah, and God wanted to open Sarah's womb and visit her so that she could have a child, hear what God said: according to the time of life. It means that I've already invested my authority in ordaining a time that governs this matter. I've already invested my authority in that, and I'm not about to undo it because of you. There is a principle at work already, and it supports my authority according to the time of life. So the question is, some believers are like milk. You know what happens to milk when you subject it to time? If you open your pig milk and then you expose it with time, it will get spoiled. But you know what? Some others are like wine. Wine gets better with time. Milk gets bad with time. So the question is, are you milk or are you wine? If you are wine, you will always get better. Hallelujah. Now, when I was given the Range Rover and I began to ride the Range Rover in Makurdi Town, one of my classmates now saw me riding. That was when he believed that I was a man of God. He finally believed. And he believed not because he helped me preach the gospel, but he saw me driving a car. He said, "Car, if that thing you were doing produced this car, then it's the correct gospel. It's a real gospel." Hallelujah. And he now got enthusiastic and said, "Okay, want to follow?" He couldn't follow for 2 weeks. He was milk. Couldn't survive the rigor. He was admitted. But when the trials began to find expression, he knew that he didn't have the capacity to end up being a precious stone. Do you have the capacity to incubate? Not to waver in your faith when you are tested with time. Let me give you a secret on how to survive the time test. And the time test is the simplest of all the tests. I know there are ladies and guys in this auditorium, you have been waiting for the marriage Saturday. What's that song that they sing again on wedding days? Oh. Whenever you hear the choir, when you ask them a question, they say, just know that they don't know the answer. It's a time test. When it begins to delay, then you begin to feel that God needs help. You need to do something to help God because God is impotent. God doesn't have the capacity to transform your life. God is weak. So I need to assist him with my wisdom. I need to assist him with my strategy. I need to do something to support him. It will become the hands of Uzzah. Because the Uzzah means strength. The strength of the flesh. You don't believe that God is too slow. So I need to help him. The moment the hands of Uzzah comes into the equation, we'll start again from square one. Because God will not take that offering. You have already corrupted the process. If God blesses it and it comes to pass, one day you put your hands in the pocket and say, "I supported it, you know. I was smart. No, he will not take that offering. It will not give him glory. So he will allow it to fail because the hands of Uzzah. That's how you will know that there is a haste that is locked on your soul. A haste. A serious haste. That only trusting in God absolutely and allowing God to manifest his word in the fullness of time will defeat that haste forever. Once that haste is defeated, your believing capacity would have increased. Anytime God says, "I'm coming," you will believe him. Because you stayed the time, you have become a precious woman of faith. When you see believers today all across the world, there's so much compromise. People lie, people masquerade, people operate in the flesh and still say in the name of Jesus and try to make it Christian. And because the average believer doesn't know how to discern, they don't know that this man has never met God. This man does not know God. This man has never seen God. Have you heard the scripture that says that he that believeth shall not make haste? Somebody sent me a message. All right? Sent me a message. And I did not reply for 2 days. The person said, is anything wrong? You know, normally what I do, I just block the person. You are not what? Block. Thank God for WhatsApp. They knew we need to be blocking things. They were aware of it. And they built it into the app. The person that brought the idea of block, may his generations be blessed in the name of Jesus. Blocking. If you are not aware that there's block on WhatsApp, I'm telling you now, it's the most valuable part of the application. I went somewhere. The people were trying to prep me to prophesy. I said, no, we don't prophesy except God's peace. He said, but there's a problem already. The problem existed before I came here. If you used to get prophesiers around that, we are of the stock of light. Oh, Jesus sends us. You can't make me to become hasty. Because when I waited for him, for my word to come, I knew there was nothing I could do to impress him to make it faster. So I was willing to submit, to wait for that time, that season, that will carry the window of the manifestation of the word that God has spoken to me. When you find someone that is in a hurry every day, see, in a hurry on Monday, is trying to just know that he has not met God. Move away from the person. Move away. He has not met God. Someone that will stretch the hands of Uzzah and begin to manifest in the flesh and manipulate things in the flesh so as to fulfill a word you received, not because of anything, but because God spoke. And you believe now that you need to be part of the process that will bring it. It is when it is time for us to wait. That's when you know that waiting is difficult. It will take faith to wait. And many of you have taken off like a tornado already. You have started helping God. You need to repent tonight. You need to repent because you have aborted that mission. The foundation stone must become the tried stone. And when it survives the test, it becomes the precious stone. And we have few precious stones that are due for the building that Jesus is building from Zion. Because we cannot survive the test of time. Until his word came, he waited. The word of the Lord. Please help me pray to your neighbor. Are you like milk? Or you are like wine? Are you like milk? Or are you like wine? All right, let me show you what to do if you need to wait. Let me show you how to wait. If you don't know how to wait, you will move in the flesh. I guarantee you, you fail the test of time. You lose the opportunity to become a precious stone. Are you there? Oh, you're not with me. I've had visions. And my visions are in a progression. I see what heaven wants to do when heaven begins to look for men. Yes, so I see it in a progression. If heaven is trying to disqualify me, I will know. I will see it. Then I will ask, what do I lack? And they will open my eyes to something that I've neglected. then I will beg God. I will fast. I will beg. Let me show you how to wait. God will never endorse a man that doesn't pass the test of time. Many, are you with me? A young man came to me and he wanted me to be his spiritual father. He started a church somewhere in one of the, close to Abuja, you know, and he's doing something there. Wanted me to provide oversight. That's great. Then I started checking him in the spirit. Because, you know, you don't accept such responsibility if you don't know the person from the Lord. I started checking him in the spirit. Then I saw that the guy began to do that ministry 2 years before heaven sanctioned him. That means it's the hands of Uzzah. God cannot bless that in his doing. Meanwhile, there is a semblance as though he is doing well. He has about 60 people that is preaching to every Sunday morning. Then I said, okay. If let me hear his message. Then I will know if he has a message. Then I listen. And I found that he didn't stay long enough to receive a message. So what he preaches is that he goes here, gets this one. And then he doesn't have a message from God. That means he's not sent. Meanwhile, he took off like a tornado. And now that he has gathered 60 members, he has come to include me in the confusion. Because he can buy a microphone, he believes he's a preacher. Do you know how long I was in the cave? Oh my God, you will never know. I finished Bible school in 1994. Calculate it. Somebody calculate it. What? 20 what? 29 years ago. We were taught by the best teachers of those days. 29 years ago. And after doing the Bible school and I was coming out, I felt I had the capacity to detonate two intercontinental ballistic missiles that would take over two cities. Then the Lord now said, you are qualified for my school now. I said, glory to God. That school took 10 years. I was already a graduate, for God's sake. See, you are wasting time. Let's go. Souls are perishing. He said, is it my own business you want to do like this? Are you in a hurry to do? Then I realized that it was flesh. For he that believes shall not make haste. The process is designed to kill the haste that is locked on your soul on the account of the wearing of the fall. A young man married a lady. They married, he was 25, the lady was 23. They said, let them marry early. The lady died 3 years later. Listen to me. Another one married at 33, lady. And she lived to become 97. Meanwhile, the one that died when she married, we'll be looking at the one that is 30-something and say, where's your God? May you never compare yourself with the next person on the line. I was in the cave for another 10 years. Then I got an invitation and God allowed me to preach. And I went there, I opened the scriptures. The people marveled at the word of God. Then after I finished preaching, he said, this is just a test. Go back to the added additional 5 years. In these 5 years, I finished the Bible how many times until I knew some scriptures off heart, not because I tried to cram it. So I know the meaning of Genesis. I know the meaning of Exodus. I know the meaning of Leviticus because I studied it. When you invite me to preach, the problem is not what to say. The problem is, what is God saying? If it's what to say, I can keep you here for days. My problem is, what is God saying? The only reason why I could learn that approach was because once upon a time, in the process of waiting, God destroyed the haste that was in my soul. At that point, it was no longer about me. It was no longer about my agenda. It was no longer about how good a preacher I was. It was no longer about how many revelations I could access. I had stayed in the cave until I outstayed the desire to perform. What is left of me now is to be a messenger of the Spirit of Christ. When His Spirit speaks, then I speak. The reason why God will need to defeat haste is because you will say many things that God did not send you to say. Who among us is able to pass the test of time? Until His word came, the word of the Lord tried. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. And Christ will give thee light. Next verse. See then that he walked circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So, how do you walk circumspectly? You walk with caution. You know, I told you the story of a man. He was the chairman of a board of interviewers. They were interviewing young graduates to give them jobs in a certain company. And because he was a director in that company, he was the chairperson in the interviewing board. So the secretary of the chairman ran in and told him, your son is outside. Say, no, I don't have any son. My wife only gave birth to 3 daughters. The secretary laughed. Say, I'm sure that your son is outside. Say, good. Let him come. Who interviewed him first? The guy came into the hall and he was the exact replica of the man. Say, who is your mother? Mentioned her name. He said, who did your mother say is your father? He said, she said, Copper. Now, he did not, when he saw the result of the way he walked, he denied it. Because he was not walking circumspectly. He came in contact with what he produced. He denied his product. Because what? He was not walking cautiously. That actions have consequences. He didn't know that theory. He said, don't walk as a fool. Walk as a wise man. Hallelujah. That pressure that came upon you to commit immorality. Do you know if you ignore that pressure, you will not die? Are you aware of it? Ignore it.
If a young man comes and tells you, oh my God, you know you are beautiful. I believe that's not the first time you are hearing that. So you can ignore it. See then that he walk circumspectly. Not as fools, never to regret your actions, but as wise. Then he then tells us how to do it. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Someone help me quickly. If your Bible is an electronic Bible like my own, click on time. If you click on time, you'll find a Greek word called Kairos. K-A-I-R-O-S. You must understand that Greek language is wider in terms of capacity. It lends itself for deeper expression than English language. So there are four words for power in Greek language. There are two words for another in Greek language. In my recent discovery, I found there are six words for power in Greek language. There are two words for time in Greek language. So we have the chronos time, and we have the kairos time. So when we say chronos, it is from chronos we have chronological. When we say kairos time, we mean an opportune time. A time that is tied to an opportunity. How many of you went to boarding school? When was dining time in the evening? 6 p.m. That's kairos time. Something happens that time. If for any reason you are not in the dining hall by 6 p.m., you will have a bad story to tell. And that's why the kairos, whenever the kairos time comes, you need to redeem the opportunity that comes with the time. It's something you need to do. And the reason why it says we need to redeem the kairos, he gave us the reason, is because the days, oh my God, Jesus. Hey. How many of you still remember in the book of Joel chapter 2, beginning from verse 25 to 28, God began to speak about a season of restoration? Okay, give me Joel chapter 2, 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, and my great army which I send among you. Please, hold on. Do you realize that these caterpillars, they don't eat grass? What do they eat? Years. And you also realize that these creatures are itemized in descending order of their devouring ability. The one that devours more is the locust. So we can now tell the story of destinies. And what was it that devoured in their lives? When a locust feasts on your destiny, it takes away 5 years, lumps of 5 years. I don't have time. But you see, are you there? The reason why we need to redeem the time is because the days are evil. There are demons that want to prey on your allotment, to distract you, to apply your time to be achieving something that is not consistent with your destiny. And that's the reason why we need to redeem the kairos. Because what? The days. I remember my friend on campus here. He fell in love. Is it bad to fall in love? Please, no. We were in the heat of something. There was an action that God had staged, and God was calling us into the place of prayer. And he knew it, very anointed. But when we begin to float in prayer, that's when that the lady will come and wave at him. He will abandon us in prayer and go with the lady. After 6 years of courting, he went to camp, her camp, campsite during NYSC to kneel down with a flower to propose. The girl now said no. Now, that was a caterpillar that feasted on his destiny. I proposed standing. I don't know what happens this day. She rejected. And all his investment for 6 years, for which he did not master the life of prayer, was lost. A caterpillar had invaded. The reason why we will need to redeem the time is because the deeds. Sometimes it's the palmer worm. It's the palmer worm. It's the quiet worm. It doesn't eat so much per time. The one that makes you lazy to pray. So you waste, it picks up just little by little. But when you accumulate it over 10 years, you will see that a great chunk of possibility has been denied. Let me round up. So the Bible says that we need to redeem the Kairos. And we have said that the Kairos is the opportune time. Do you remember destiny? There are windows of time for performance. You know, that's what I said. That in the counsel of God, the wide strokes of the counsel of God, the administration of God fructifies events, fructifies performances consistent with windows of time. And that's why the Bible says that for every purpose, there is a time. For every purpose under heaven, there is a season. It is that season that God wants to bet purpose in your life, that your word is supposed to come, the manifestation of the things that he has told you is supposed to come, that demons will fight that window. You will need to redeem it because the days are here. Verse 17, he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is how to survive the chronos season. You see, what happens is we have a long chronos season and then a little window for the kairos. Purpose is here. Are you there? Then there's another long chronos season. Then there's a little window here for the kairos. These little windows are the ones that you need to redeem. When you plant corn on your farm, it takes 4 months for the corn to get ripe. But harvest is just 2 weeks. That harvest season is what the demons will fight. They may not even fight the corn. The corn will blossom. But when they know that there's an opportune time for you, they will contend with you. If you are willing to be distracted, they will sway you away and you will miss that window. Verse 18 gives us the secret of how to spend the chronos in such a way that when the kairos comes, you'll be able to recognize it. You see, if you are waiting and you are expecting something, there is a great possibility for you to become weary and worn out because it's taking too much time for performance to find expression. Have you ever experienced what I'm talking about? Now, what you do is that you need to know how to manage your chronos well, the chronos time. And the way to manage it, you will need to go high. But you say, don't go high with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. So what we do in the chronos time, in expectation of the kairos season where God will bring performance, is that we while away time praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. When you while away time praying in the Spirit, the devil will not be able to prompt you to act in the flesh. You will be strong in the time of your waiting. You will be strong in the time of your expectation. Just like a woman that is pregnant, you know you are going to deliver. All right? There are two options. It's either you surrender to the weight of the pregnancy and become a creature of pregnancy, or you decide to become strong as you carry that load, strong in your spirit, man. You'll be able to even peep into the destiny of the child that you are carrying. He said, be not drunk with wine. You will need to go high in order for you to survive the long wait, but not with wine. You need to be filled with the Spirit again and 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 again until your word comes. When you leave off a season of waiting ordained by God and you were able to survive until your word comes, it will be easy for you to believe God. You will know something about the faithfulness of God that will make it easy for you to trust God when you hear God speak. But a lot of people in the house of God, that they take off like tornadoes, they cannot subject themselves to the protocols of God's performances, so they never become precious stones in the house of God. Who told you that all you came here to do is just that marriage? No, the waiting is supposed to make you fit for what will come after the marriage is established. Do you know how long I waited? It was when God was releasing me from the cave after 15 years of waiting that He now said to me, raise a remnant for me in this generation. After 15 years of waiting, I had finished Bible school a long time. If it's the scriptures, they were at my fingertips. But He didn't give me the opportunity to preach anything to anybody. I was in the cave. It was in that cave that the Lord spoke about striving for the rebirth of apostolic Christianity. Please help me tell your neighbor again, are you like milk? Or you are like wine? Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Remember, he that believes. Don't help God. The God that has spoken to you is able to bring His word to pass. Don't help Him. Did He speak to you? If He has not yet spoken, seek His face. And get Him to commit Himself by a promise. Our God does not lie. But men fail the test of time, and they do not have the opportunity to be named from Zion as precious stones. God will not use an ordinary stone. He doesn't use bricks. He doesn't use blocks. He uses precious stones. You will become jasper before He will build with you. You become sardine stone before He will build with you. You become onyx stone before He will build with you. And what determines what kind of stone you become is the process that you were subjected to, that you survived. It's not in this lecture I will show you the different types of stone, precious stones. The ones that were used to build in the New Jerusalem. And anytime you see jasper, it means the appearance of God. I will show you the meaning of each stone. And that's why our anointings eventually becomes different. Because there are some people, the jasper people, they have capacity to launch the effect of the presence of God. They can launch it. We need to go to the book of Revelation chapter 4 for me to define jasper. We need to define onyx stone. These are the kinds of stones with different refractive indexes that God uses to build, so that your life will dispense the light of God in a unique way. Can you be on your feet? We have a lot to study on this matter. We have a lot to study. Some will come in the likeness of sapphire. Some will come in the likeness of diamond. That's what they have become. That's their similitude that they sustain because of the process that they survive. Will you cave in under intense temperature? Will you cave in under intense pressure? It means you do not number among the jewels of God. He says, I will spare them. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him, and thou shalt return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Tonight we want to pray that we might all receive the capacity to endure as Joseph received. He was in that dungeon, in the very heart of the earth. But there was something that kept him bubbling, kept him alive. There were visions he had seen about his glory. And he knew that the power of the dungeon was not sufficient to undo the visions that he saw. Oh, so you might be in the dungeon now. Do not lose sight of what the Lord has shown you in the secret place. Somebody needs to cry to him and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. I'm not milk. I am wine. Time will only reveal how better I am. The prospect will only reveal how strong I am. I am determined to come out a precious stone, brilliant like diamond, brilliant like onyx. It is black. Onyx is black, but it shines. It glows in its blackness. He will build with precious stones, stones that are tried in the furnace of affliction, stones that are tried. In the fires of tribulation, stones that are tried. They come Bahasiko place, the Labongo Dori, Samapuria. Are you already weary because of the weight? God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. I saw him in the healing heart. Recosivo Conde, Mande Coria, Pilaske Tobe Laguse da Itema. We believe your voice. Gaboni Masinda, Ento Bre, Bakayo Sabolande, Usa Peri Mokonda, Ramaka Telia Braske Tobina Kadeli. Ivorose Kabalato Vina Kadia. Lycom Bazino Teli Monteria. Yema Mama 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 Mama. God is not a man that he should lie. Ay,
Receive in the time, because the days are evil. Redeem in the time. Redeem in the time. Because the days are evil.
A couple just got married, and after 5 years in waiting for the fruit of the womb, they come to my office to see me. And it's a very delicate situation when you sit in the office of a pastor and you are counseling with people that have a challenge in the fruit of the womb. You have to be very careful. Your words, your because they are already slipping into depression. And normally what I do is that I commission a moment of prayer instantly. And God was gracious in those days, and He gave me an insight. And He said that He has allowed the woman's womb to lie fallow for 7 years. Because 2 prophets will come out of her womb. She will give birth to 2 sons. But a Sabbath must be declared on the womb to sanctify it. And after which, 2 princes that will carry the scepter for the kingdom come. And God fulfilled His word. In another case, the Sabbath was 15 years. When the woman got to 12 years, she couldn't wait again. She went to meet the priestesses at the lake, the ones that speak for the sirens of the waterside. And they were able to orchestrate conception using some strange eggs. God had said it will take 15 years. So she became hasty at 12 years and made a pact with Satan. Gave birth to a lady that looked normal for 3 years until she became 4 and 5. It was right there in primary school that she was initiated. Because, you know, they know how to orchestrate it. Then at 15, when she was not expecting to give birth again, that promise of God came. But the 2 sides of the kingdom, of light and darkness, were in her family. And you know what happens? The pastor is the final bus stop. Because pastor must be wise enough to solve problems people created with their hands. That lady she went to seek. They told her that that lady will not live more than 15 years. He said, yes, let me have it. When the child became 13 years, the demons began to visit her in the dreams. And we are taking our property. He said, no, you can't take it. Ah, took the child to church. Kabile Kopes Mando. Can we confirm to God that I'm not in a hurry? I've seen men do crazy things because of this. If you know the powers that determines who lives and who dies in the heavens, you will know that we are nothing without God. If you have seen the one that is behind thunder and lightning, you have seen him. You will know that it is a privilege that we are even born again. I will not be hasty. I will not use my haste to create, open a door to the devil. I will wait on you. Pledge to him right now. Pledge to him. Pledge to him. Kabozine Heliboko. I hope that you pray Bilakoria Bahaseke Mokurakuda Bezia Adeli Abagua Sekomanta Receive strength in your spirit, man. Receive strength in your spirit. Receive strength. Receive strength. Receive strength. Over and above the wind that is blowing around your life. Receive strength in your spirit. God is not a man that he should lie. Uzzah attempted to stretch forth his hand to help, will not bring the hands of the flesh to support what you are doing. Your counsel in its fullness will come to pass in my life, and no flesh will be able to glory. All glory will be yours, because the vision will speak. The vision will not lie. The vision will come to pass. Thank you, Father. Change me and change me. We have come with open arms. sing in ancient words.
Ancient words.
Ever true.